I apologize for my earlier comment. You know, we should, as we come into the house of the Lord, we need to come in with thankfulness and humility and gratitude for this opportunity that we've been allowed to come into this place to meet with a portion of the Lord's believing saints. Now, that sounds like a pretty generic comment, the Lord's believing saints. Well, all the churches around, the people are coming, they believe, and so it's a generic comment, but I'm referring to the Lord's believing saints who believe in the truth of the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are you trying to say, Brother Gary? Well, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. His name was Jesus, and Christ was his title. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Christ. What was the Christ anointed for? He was anointed for the remissions of our sins. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, the anointed one, who was anointed for the remissions of your sin, it's a beautiful thing. And Paul was thankful back in Philippians that some of them were telling him, there's guys preaching over here and they're preaching the Christ of contention. They're preaching different things. And Paul said, as long as they're preaching Christ, I'm satisfied. I'm happy. And I struggle with that. So what are you talking about? They're kind of making light of different things. They're not exactly the truth. But then I realize, he says, as long as they're preaching Christ, the fact that Jesus is Christ, he was anointed for the remissions of your sins. We've talked several times in 2 Peter, not 2 Peter. Peter was talking in the second chapter of Acts about Jesus being the Christ. Let's just look at it real quick. That's not where my mind was going this morning, but let's look at that. We've read this before on many occasions. Acts comes right after John. It's called Acts because it's the Acts of the Apostles. It has Christ's final instruction before he ascended back into heaven. But in the second chapter, if I can find what I'm looking for. Second chapter, the 38th verse is where I'm referring to. He had been preaching to them and telling them all of these that were come together. And these were Jewish people from all areas of the world, the known world at that time, who had come together, and they came in and they heard Peter preach this sermon. This is when the Holy Ghost came down upon them in cloven tongues, and y'all have heard talk about speaking in tongues as they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. The speaking in tongues, all these people from the different countries and everything, they heard these people talking and speaking, and they understood in their own language. People kind of take that speaking in tongues and try to go way off the out in the stratosphere with it. There are some referrals about speaking in tongues and having interpreters, but what they're talking about here is all of these people could hear what was going on, and they were hearing in their own language. That within itself is a miracle. Imagine if there was somebody that was Russian that was standing up and giving a speech. And we were there, and Hispanic people were there, and Japanese people were there. And, you know, they do it now. They have little things they put on your ears, and there's interpreters that'll tell you what the guy is saying. But imagine we were all together, and there was somebody doing that, and everybody in the crowd could hear the man speak in their own tongue. Would that not be a miracle? Well, that's what happened here, and it was a miracle of the Lord, the miracle of the Spirit of the Lord. The 37th verse, second chapter, when he got through, this is about through preaching. Let's read the 36th verse. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, he was telling them, look what you've done. You've taken this man Jesus and crucified him. And God hath made this Jesus was his name, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remissions of sins. Now, if you're reading along there, you'll notice that I left out a word. I'm going to leave the word out again. If you're looking at your Bible, let's read the 38th verse again. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did I leave out? Anybody notice what I left out? I left out Christ. If the word Christ was not there, and it read like I read it, repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus for the remissions of sins, then the remissions of sins would go back to your repentance and baptism. But no, that's not what it says here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Now let's take that word, you know, Christ, we've done this before, but if you're like me, I hear a minister preach something and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I can't remember a word he said. So I'm going to remind us of what has been said before. I said Christ is what? The Messiah, the Anointed One, right? I said that earlier. Chris, did I say that a while ago? Christ is the Anointed One? Yeah, the Messiah. So let's take, as we read it this time, let's substitute Christ. Let's say what Christ means. And I'm going to put in there the Anointed One. Y'all agree that that would be fair? Okay. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, for the remissions of sins. What did I just say? Jesus was the Anointed One for the remissions of sins. Not your repentance, not your baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now your repentance is an act of obedience because you were pricked in the heart. The words of Peter, the words of the gospel, got to you, and it pricked you in the heart, and you felt it in your heart, and you understood at that moment that, look, I'm a sinner. I'm one of these that Peter's talking about. I'm one that's covered by this anointed Christ who has been crucified for my sins. That would prick you in the heart. Then the 39th verse, Peter goes on to say, For could mean because, right? For refers back to what we're talking about. For the promise. What promise is he talking about? The promise that there is going to be a Messiah, there would be a Redeemer. What did the Jewish people, why did they make sacrifices all through the Old Testament time? They were making sacrifices looking forward to the Messiah. They were looking forward to a Christ, a Redeemer to come, but they were a little distorted. They were looking for somebody to come back and a white horse and it's 8 foot tall and restore the kingdom of Israel back to their glory and dominate the world. That's what they thought was going to happen. So all these years, all through history, they've been looking for their Messiah. And the Lord promised his people that that would happen, that he would raise up Christ to sit upon his throne. They were thinking about the physical throne, but the Lord is talking about the spiritual throne. Let's continue on. For the promise of the Messiah, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. There's a calling going on here. This promise is to you. Now, these people that were pricked in their heart, that this word that Peter preached to them, it condemned them, and they realized that what Peter was talking about, we've crucified the Messiah, Christ, that was me. Christ came to pay for my sins. I realized this. I was pricked in the heart. For the promise is unto you, the ones that were pricked in the heart, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How many more is this promise made unto? As many as the Lord wants to call. And how does he do that? Well, he pricks you in the heart. Or he condemns you of your sins. Or you realize that, oh my gosh, this Jesus was the Christ, he was the anointed one, for my sins. If you see yourself as a sinner in need of salvation, I say hallelujah. That's wonderful. Gary, what do you mean? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. If you see yourself as a sinner and you're in need of a Savior, then these words are talking about you. The Lord is calling you. If you're condemned in your heart for your sins, that's because the Lord is calling you and giving you that knowledge. And you are His. You're not going to become His. It's evidence that you are His. You're part of the covenant, part of the promise. The Lord is calling you. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, now here's a save that we can have something to do with, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. He's saying, come out from among these people that have done this, have crucified the Lord, these Jewish people, these, what's the word? I can't even think. Proselytes and what they call them? Anyway, I'm sorry. Get away from all these people that were looking for Christ to be a king to rule on this earth. Save yourself from all of this confusion. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. In the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? I've been to some big church meetings, and I've been places where there might have been 400 or 500 people gathered together. That was a massive congregation. But here, there was 3,000 that were added to the apostles and the ones that had been pricked in their heart and repenting because of they realized that that call was for them, that Jesus was the Christ. He died for their sins, and he paid for it, and I don't have to worry about my eternal salvation. Good gracious, doesn't that, would that not make you rejoice? And he says, now, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Did the baptism make them or save them eternally? No, they were baptized. Baptism is a public confession of faith. If you have a desire to be baptized and become part of this particular church, it's a public confession that you believe what this church believes. And you want the world to know, I believe this. I believe that Jesus is my Savior and that it was He who died upon the cross and paid for my sins. I acknowledge that. And you're just saying, hey, I believe this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I can't imagine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And then it goes on. The last 47th verse, they were doing all this together, believing together and eating together and gladness and singing. 47th verse, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Saved from what? Peter just told you. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Saved from what? Let's go back. 40th verse. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Come out from this Jewish belief that Jewish are superior and that there's going to be a king. The king that we're acknowledging is the king of the Lord's church, the Lord's people. A lot of people want to take these two saves and say, that's eternal salvation it's talking about. That baptism is eternal salvation. No, it's not. If you have eternal salvation, it's because it was a gift given to you and secured by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. I hope I'm not confusing you, but that's, to me, it's kind of plain and simple. Now I want to get to the verse I had on my mind. That's, don't know where all that came from, but and if I can remember, I was in 1 Chronicles, 16th chapter, I think. Now, once we come to this knowledge that Jesus is our Christ, Jesus is the anointed one who died and paid for our sins, if we acknowledge that within ourselves and we understand it's not something we did within ourselves, it's something the Lord did for us, and we want to come out and we want to honor his name, we want to follow him. Here David is writing, and this is the middle of a psalm, 28th verse, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. David is admonishing us here to give the Lord glory and strength. How do you give glory to the Lord? Well, you acknowledge the fact that everything that happened, all of this good is because of him. Glorious is his name. It's not my name. It's not my action. It's not what I did. The Lord is the one, the Lord of glory. We're to give him glory and honor and praise. How do we do that? We come together just like we are. 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 people. But that's all right. The Lord's not counting how many of us are here this morning. The Lord is acknowledging the fact that you're here to honor him and to give him the glory. Do you give the glory this morning to the Lord? Do you honor the Lord? Yes, you do, or you wouldn't be sitting here. You're not giving any honor or glory to yourself. You're here because you want to honor his name. And come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship us in a simple manner. But I believe, well, the way we worship the Lord is the beauty of holiness. We don't stand up and ask for the praise of men. We don't do things that the world or men might see us or acknowledge us. We do things to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How beautiful is the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How wonderful is his love. And we talked earlier about the things that are going on and all of the sickness and illness. And why does Sister Betty have to sit there and look out her front door with the cast on her foot, you know? What's happening to Jonathan? What's going on here? But you know, these things are going to pass away one day. And the Lord is going to come back, and we're going to meet him in the sky. We're going to go be with him forever. Can you meet? I can't even put my brain around that. How in the world can that be? Seem like I've lived forever. But my life, it would be just a flash in the pan. It would, when we get to go and be with our Savior. Now, what are we supposed to do as we're down here on this earth? As it just said, and I'm going to read these scriptures again, 28th and 29th verse of 1 Chronicles 16th chapter. Give unto the Lord, you kinders of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord praise, is what it's saying. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. How much glory is due his name? You can't imagine. You can't give him enough glory that's due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Make an effort every time the Lord's church is open to be here. Come together. Worship together. Because that's what we're commanded to do. That's our responsibility as his children. We're not going to create anything. We're not going to make anything happen. But we're going to give him the glory that he's due. We're going to honor his name. Would I like to see 75 people here today? I sure would. Have I seen 75 people in this building before? I sure have. A lot of them have gone. Have I seen 75 people at Andrews before? I sure have. I've been over there, gospel meetings, the Yarbroughs. There's about 97 to them just within themselves, all the family. But I have great memories over at Andrew's Church in Big Spring. But the Lord is capable of bringing his people out together. But we have a responsibility, though we be few in number. We're to give him honor and glory, and we're to come together in this assembly. Now, I'm sorry we don't have a vibrant, powerful minister here to give you a great sermon. You know, but that doesn't matter. What we're here to do is honor the Lord, praise his name in the best way we know how. Why? Because he has pricked us in our hearts, right? He has shown us that Christ is our Redeemer, that Christ redeemed us because of nothing that we did. He's given you that revelation. You know that. That's why you're here. You know that he is your Savior. And you're here to worship him and praise his holy name. Brother Joe, if you have a few things you want to say, or we can sing and go eat lunch. What do you